the assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop.
Well, first of all, let me start off by wishing you all a happy Women's History Month. For the month of March, every show I'm going to start off by giving you a stupid book report on women throughout the history of time who have inspired me.
Just kidding, y'all. You know I would never do that shit to you. Like the rest of the networks, they do their pandery bullshit where they have to give you a fucking book report on some loser like you're in fucking sixth grade. And, here's this person. And it's just like, no, this does not do anything for the advancement of women in any way, shape, or form. All it does is make losers feel better about themselves. I feel that way about all these fucking things. But since I'm a woman, I can actually mock Women's History Month. And y'all can suck my dick if you got a problem with it. Ha ha. But yeah, I actually almost considered as a joke. Every show the month of March, I was considering doing like the history of the like ironing board and Betty Crocker and who's like the fastest knitter throughout the history of time. But I don't have time to even fake research bullshit like that. So I didn't do that. And by the way, I am me out of spite of women, not because of women. So just remember that. Anyways, let's talk some actual sports, something of interest other than that kind of bullshit. I guess we're going to have to go ahead and start off with the MLB lockout continues. Unfortunately, they weren't allowed, they didn't come to an agreement by the deadline earlier this week. So they started off by canceling every team's first two series of the season. So that's basically like the first week of the season that's been canceled so far. It sucks, but it is what it is. As you can tell, I don't have, an angry tone in my voice like the rest of the whiny loser MLB fans who are claiming they're never gonna watch baseball ever again. I don't believe you, stupid. If you're a baseball fan, you're gonna watch. And by the way, these collective bargaining agreements have nothing to do with the fans. That's why I don't have any, I'm not upset about it because it is what it is. Every few years, they have to do this in every single sport. And this isn't the first time baseball's had a work stoppage. It's not the first time that any sport has had a work stoppage. It happens. And it's just negotiations. And by the way, this has nothing to do with the fans at all in any way, shape, or form. I know all fans like to make this out to be all about them. And I've read all these stupid, ridiculous articles all week about, ugh, baseball's gonna die because of this. And it's like, nah, y'all are so fucking stupid. First and foremost, when they come to an agreement, you all will be back watching baseball as usual. This isn't going to kill baseball because if you don't know, yes, baseball's not on the level as football because nothing's on the level of football. But if you actually look at real organizations who are really good, you know, there's like the Dodgers, they sell out their games all the time. The San Francisco Giants sell out their games all the time. The Houston Astros sell out their games all the time. The New York Yankees sell out their games. The Boston Red Sox, there are actually the majority of the teams in MLB aren't having an issue. It's the shitty know-nothing teams like the Arizona Diamondbacks. And you know what? If the Diamondbacks put a decent team out on the field and were like a playoff contender, Arizona Diamondback fans would actually show out. But unfortunately, they're a shitty team, so nobody shows out at this particular point in time. But it's just funny to hear all the loser boy, I'm going to boycott MLB fans. Like, no, no the fuck you're not. First and foremost, no boycotts, especially recently work. Do we not remember just about a month ago all the loser, quote, musicians who were boycotting Spotify and going to take their music off of Spotify because of the evil Joe Rogan? Yeah, guess what? None of them did that. And as a matter of fact, what we should really be doing is boycotting, what's that fucking bitch's name? Oh my God, the guitar player. I just had her, Joni Mitchell. We should all be boycotting Joni Mitchell's ugly ass fucking face is what we should be boycotting. But notice that little retarded boycott went nowhere. And that's what's going to happen when baseball comes back. Nobody's going to boycott it. Maybe for like the first couple of weeks, people will threaten to boycott. But guess what? No, you all be there. If you are a fan, let's say you're a Milwaukee Brewers fan. What in the fuck is there to do up in Milwaukee in the summertime? You're just sitting there. You're just having a, it's a freaking Saturday afternoon, and there's baseball on TV. Your dumb ass is going to be watching baseball on TV because there ain't shit else on. So don't act like your ass is going to be boycotting baseball because of this lockout. This has nothing to do with us. No, this has nothing to do with the fans. And the players could sit here and release their little statements about, oh yeah, we care about the fans, but the owners don't. No, guess what? When they're having these negotiations, fans aren't mentioned at all, nor should we be, because this is about the money disbursement between the owners and the players, and they will come to an agreement at some point in time, but you loser boycotters need to get over yourselves. And I don't believe that you are going to boycott the season. All of these people who always say they're going to boycott something, you don't stick to your word. And even if you did, you're one person on, you really think you're that important? Of course you think you're that important because you're a stupid American. But I digress. Like I said, I'm looking forward to baseball whenever we get it. My ass will be watching baseball. I get the baseball package. That's how obsessed with baseball I am. And I got to watch every Giants game, or try to watch every Giants game, because their games do start kind of late here. So I tend to fall asleep sometimes halfway through some of their games. But regardless, when I have the baseball package, I'm watching other games too if I don't have anything else to do. So I'm looking forward to the start of baseball season. Who knows when it's going to be at this point in time. These boycotter fans who act like they're never going to watch baseball again really need to get over themselves. And we had some great NBA games this week. Let's start off with that boy, Ja Morant. He had a 52-point game against the Spurs earlier this week. And not only did he have 52 points in the game, but he just was an absolute highlight reel. I mean, he had this spectacular dunk. And then there was this great play where Adams just tosses the ball all the way across the court like he's a football player. And Ja catches it with like a second on the clock and just tips it right in for the points. And it just was so much fun to watch. He had a great game last night as well. It was in a loss, but hey, man, Ja Morant is just, he's just getting better each and every game, it feels like. And he's making a great case for MVP. I still lean towards Embiid right now at this point in time, but Ja Morant, he's something else, and I'm really enjoying what he's got to do. By the way, the Lakers still suck. I don't know if you all knew that. They've lost 4 in a row right now. And last night, they got their asses beat by the Clippers. By the motherfucking Clippers. Who they've lost to 4 times this season. That's fucking unacceptable. You know why that's unacceptable? First of all, it's the Clippers. Second of all, the Clippers don't even have their good players playing right now. As in, Kawhi Leonard hasn't played at all this season, and Paul George was not playing. I think he might have played in one. I don't even recall what's going on with the Clippers. I haven't really paid much attention to the Clippers because they suck. But the Lakers got smashed last night by the Clippers by 21 points. That shit is unacceptable. And then also earlier this week, they lost to the Dallas Mavericks, but at least the Dallas Mavericks are a legit fucking team. But Jesus Christ, the Lakers just keep getting worse and worse and worse this season. It's like this season can't end quick enough because I'm sick to death of how shitty they're playing. I almost don't want them to make the playoffs because it's going to be a shit show. They ain't going to do anything in the playoffs. So, yeah, Lakers still suck this week. Kevin Durant made his return this week. He came back last night from his MCL sprain. He dropped 31 points, but unfortunately the Nets still lost to the Heat. But hey, the Nets definitely need KD, and we'll see what he's got going the rest of the season. And then you got James Harden. Dude's been playing great since he was traded to the 76ers. This is looking like a great fit so far. Like I said, my concern wasn't going to be the rest of this season. My concern with James Harden was going to be next season, because that's just kind of how he is. And hey, he seems to be happier in Philly right now. I think he's exactly what they were missing. So he had a great home debut, and he's just playing great basketball right now, and looking like he's the perfect fit with the Philadelphia 76ers at this current point in time. And then you also had the Milwaukee Bucks had a huge comeback. I think it was last night, night before. I can't remember. But they had a huge comeback against the Miami Heat. They were down by 14 points, made this solid fourth quarter run in the last 6 minutes. And Holiday ended up making the game-winning basket. And the Bucks, they are nobody's really talking about them because they're not blowing anybody out of the water this season. But you really want to watch out for the championship teams that have already the pedigree, because once all that matters is that you get into the postseason. It doesn't matter what seed you are. Anybody except for the Lakers, of course, can make a run if they just make the playoffs. And especially out in the Eastern Conference, there's a lot of parity going on. But the Bucks had a solid win against the Miami Heat team. All right, and then we also have a huge fight this week in the UFC, UFC 272. Main card is Colby Covington versus Jorge Masvidal, welterweight title. Actually, it's not a title fight, I'm sorry. Usman, he's got the belt. Masvidal, speaking of Usman, Usman has beat both of these guys twice, knocked out both of them and beat both of them in unanimous decisions. Love Usman, by the way, even though he's not fighting. That guy is an all-around spectacular fighter. I really enjoy watching him. But we're talking about these Jorge Masvidal and Covington. And Masvidal is also another one of my favorites. I actually was just watching a couple of his fights last night just to kind of see, because he hasn't fought in almost a year. He got knocked the fuck out by Usman. That was his last fight, where he just got just like his face obliterated in the second round, and just like spit was flying. It was just one of those just beautiful knockouts that you live for as a UFC fan. And while I am a Masvidal fan, I like Usman as well. So, I mean, I wasn't upset with how it ended, but it was just funny just because, I mean, Masvidal also has the fastest knockout in UFC history, where he came out and just knee kicked the dude in 5 seconds and knocked his ass out to the ground. What was Askren? Yeah, Askren. Beautiful fight. One of the craziest knockouts I've ever seen. But it's funny because he's part of the two biggest knockouts that I've enjoyed, and he was on the receiving end of the losing end and the winning end on both of them. But I really enjoy the way he fights. He's more of a boxing type of guy. And both he and Covington, they actually used to be friends. They used to be roommates. And apparently now they don't like each other anymore. So that adds a little bit to this fight. Covington, he's not a bad fighter, but honestly, I don't think he really has a chance against Masvidal. I'm not saying Masvidal's going to knock him out, even though you know that's what Masvidal goes for. I actually do think he's going to end up knocking him out. I think he's probably going to knock him out in about the third round. But if this does end up going five rounds, that's when I think Masvidal might be in some trouble, because when you push him to the limit like that, he can keep fighting, but usually he gets gassed out pretty quick, especially by the fourth round. And that's what Usman did to him in the first matchup a couple years ago. It was back in 2020. When they fought each other, and basically Usman just wore him out and grappled him to the ground. But I don't really see Covington doing that. Yes, Covington is a good grappler. He's known for his ground and pound. That's his game. But I just don't think he's the same level as Masvidal. This is just one of those matchups that UFC is putting out there because they know it's what the fans want. They know there's a rivalry between the two of them. And also Masvidal hasn't fought in near a year. So I think this is a good fight for him to get back into it. And you know he wants to avenge. He at least wants to do something. He wants to get another win, because his last two have been losses to Usman. And that last loss was a total knockout where he had no idea where he was. That was the type of knockout that was delivered to him. And so I do expect Masvidal to win this one. Like I said, knockout third round is kind of what I'm looking at. But if it goes the distance, that could play into Covington's favor. But even if it goes the distance, I'm taking Masvidal. I'm a fan of Masvidal, so I'm going to take him all day. But it's going to be an interesting fight, that's for sure. And also in UFC news, if you're familiar with Cain Velasquez, he used to be one of the big UFC guys back in the day, or actually just a few years ago. But he was arrested earlier this week for attempted murder. Now, when he was first arrested, you're like, well, damn, what happened? Well, come to find out, and now this isn't proven fact yet. And since I work for a lawyer, I'm a paralegal, the way I look at legal things is usually a bit different than most people. I actually do stop and go, shit, what happened here? And then I actually examine the evidence. Now, apparently what happened was a kid in Velasquez's family was either molested or somebody attempted to molest them at a daycare center, and he was going to kill the molester. That's his story. Like I said, this isn't proven fact yet, but if that's true, go Cain Velasquez. I know we shouldn't be condoning killing people, but I'm sorry. If you're a child molester, I actually do condone your killing. I have no problems with it. Cain Velasquez should certainly be held accountable for his actions, if this is true or not. But yeah, I'm not gonna say he's a bad person for doing that, because I think a lot of us, and I don't like children. I'll tell you that. I don't want kids. I don't like kids. But I hate child molesters a lot more. And if you are a child molester, you deserve a extremely rotten, horrible death. And good on Cain Velasquez if that ends up being the truth. He could be lying. He could have made up that story. This could just be a dude that he had some ill will towards or whatever. But if that's the true story, I support you, Cain Velasquez. All right. Now let's move on to the last two divisions for team needs that we're moving on to. I saved the worst for last, because now that Tom Brady's retired, basically the NFC South and the AFC South are the absolute dumpster fires of the NFL. The only good team at this current point in time in both divisions would be the Tennessee Titans. Other than that, all of these teams are trash. So I saved the worst for last, that's for sure. So let's go ahead and start off with the NFC South. Let's start off with those Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They get the 27th overall pick in the first round of the draft. Obviously, their number one need is going to be quarterback now that Tom Brady's retired. I have no idea what route they're going to go there. I don't know if they're going to trade for somebody. I don't know if they're looking at draft, because since this year in the draft, it's not really a quarterback-heavy draft. A pretty decent quarterback could possibly fall their way. But there's also, they might, who knows, maybe use like a bridge type quarterback, like a Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's going to be available. Or maybe, I don't know if they would go back to a Jameis Winston. I kind of feel like they should have, they moved on him to start. I think they should keep moving on from him, because it didn't work. But beyond the quarterback position, they need running back. And Leonard Fournette is one of their notable free agents. But even if they were to keep him, I still think they need help at running back, just because Fournette, he's not a durable running back anymore. He's a good running back, but he tends to get injured quite frequently. Then they're definitely going to need some help on the defensive line. And I'd say their top spot on defense they need help at would be either at cornerback or safeties. Definitely at the defensive back position, they need some help in that secondary. Their secondary was just battered with injuries all season long. And they just were giving up so many long passes, and they just were pretty awful in the secondary. I know a lot of it was due to injury, but I think they could definitely use some help in the secondary. Their notable free agents, Rob Gronkowski, Chris Godwin, Jason Pierre-Paul, Ryan Jensen, Ndamukong Suh, and Leonard Fournette. And those are all big free agents as well. I expect them to probably re-sign a couple of those guys. Especially, I feel like the number one you should re-sign would be Ryan Jensen. The offensive line was their force this year, and actually last year as well, and he was a big part of it, so I think you definitely got to get him back. I don't think it could hurt re-signing Godwin as well, but yeah, those are their notable free agents. And then moving on, the New Orleans Saints, they have the 18th overall pick in the first round. Their needs would be quarterback as well. They don't know what the hell's going on at their quarterback position, so they definitely need quarterback. I think they could use some more help at the wide receiver position. Even though Michael Thomas, it looks like they may have resolved their problems. And if they did, he's a spectacular wide receiver, but they could use some more weapons out there. They could also use a tight end and then some help in the defensive back position. Overall, their defense is very solid. That's definitely the force of the team is their defense, but they could use some help in the secondary. Some of their notable free agents, Teron Armstead, Taysom Hill, and Jameis Winston. So Hill and Winston, those are their two quarterbacks. I wouldn't be shocked if they re-signed Hill because I always refer to Taysom Hill as a better Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow sucked, at least in my opinion. I thought he was an absolutely trash can quarterback. He's an NFL quarterback. He's a college quarterback, great college quarterback, but NFL, he was trash. Taysom Hill is a better Tim Tebow, in my opinion. He's very strong. He's great for goal line stands, especially. So I wouldn't have a problem with them re-signing him, but I kind of think he was more of a Sean Payton guy. And since he's not the coach anymore, I wouldn't be shocked if they let him go. But I definitely think they need to re-sign Armstead. He's on their offensive line. That was a huge problem for them last year, and they could only upgrade at the offensive line position, and I feel like they got to keep Armstead. And moving on to the Atlanta Falcons, they have the 8th overall pick in the draft. Once again, a high pick. They were a high pick last year as well. I think they were like 4 last year, so didn't do much better this year. Their needs, it looks like Matt Ryan's coming back this year, but I still think they need a quarterback, regardless of whether he's going to be the starter or whatever. I feel like if they draft somebody, hey man, sitting behind Matt Ryan's actually not that bad of an option. So they definitely need some help at quarterback. They could use some help at running back as well. Their offense is super dynamic when they have a good ground attack, but they didn't have a good ground attack at all these last couple of seasons. So they definitely need some help at the running back position. They could also use some help at defensive back, whether it be a cornerback or a safety. And then they can also use some help at the linebacker position. Some of their notable free agents are Dante Fowler, Cordarrelle Patterson, and Hayden Hurst. And I think they definitely have to re-sign Cordarrelle Patterson. He is a great weapon to have. He's a solid wide receiver, just as a wide receiver goes. But he gives you that extra weapon where he can run. Him and Deebo Samuel are probably two of the most dynamic receivers in the league, just because they give you that extra little bit of running that most people don't expect. So I think they really definitely have to re-sign Patterson. If they don't, whoever gets Patterson's getting a spectacular receiver and a great weapon. Then moving on to the Carolina Panthers, they are currently the 6th pick in the first round of the draft, which is good because they do have a few holes to fill, number one being quarterback position. They haven't figured out what they're going to do at the quarterback position since Cam Newton started to fall off, and I don't think Darnold's going to be it. I wouldn't be shocked if he's still their dude for this year, but I kind of feel like they have to do something different at the quarterback position, especially the coach, Matt Rhule. This is kind of like a make-or-break year for him, and if there's no improvement, I see the Carolina Panthers moving on. So I feel like they have to do something at the quarterback position and just either use Darnold as trade bait or let him ride the bench and be the backup for the year. Then they also definitely need some help on that offensive line. And then they could use some help at the defensive back position. Overall, their defense is stacked, but the defensive back position is definitely a spot that they could use some improvement. And their notable free agents are Stephon Gilmore, who I think they should most definitely re-sign. And if they don't, whoever gets Stephon Gilmore is getting one of the best cornerbacks in the league. Then Dante Jackson and Matt Paradis are a couple other notable free agents. Now moving on to the AFC South, let's talk about the only worthwhile team in both of these divisions, the Tennessee Titans. They have the 26th overall pick in the first round. Their needs would be, they actually don't have a lot of needs in my opinion. They're actually an overall very good team. Their needs would just be a couple spots. They could definitely use a defensive back, whether it be cornerback or safety. They could use some more help on the defensive line. And then as far as offense goes, they could probably use a tight end or maybe another wide receiver. Overall, though, I think the Titans are a good team. And with this division, I don't think they should have any problem winning that division again. Then moving on to the Indianapolis Colts, who don't have a first-round pick at this current point in time. And I'd say their current needs are definitely at the wide receiver position or tight end or both of them. They need some more help out there. Regardless of who their quarterback ends up being next season, they're going to need some weapons. And they don't have a lot of weapons, and that's what they need on the offensive side of the ball. They could use some more help on the offensive line as well. And then also at the defensive back position, overall, their defense is stacked. But if they get one more cornerback, safety, they could probably be the best defense in the league. Some of their notable free agents, T.Y. Hilton, Eric Fisher, and Mo Alie-Cox. Then moving on to the Houston Texans, who have the third overall pick in the draft. Basically, they need every position. They have to take care of the quarterback position at some point. They could use a running back, they could use a wide receiver, they could use a tight end, they could use offensive line. And then when you're talking about the defense, they could definitely use some help with the defensive back position and probably on that line. The Texans have so many needs, it's ridiculous. So we'll see how they do. I expect them to do how they always do, embarrass themselves as usual. But some of their notable free agents are Justin Reed, Malik Collins, and Tyrod Taylor. And like I said, there's so many holes that this team could go really anyway with their third overall pick. And hell, they could even use that draft spot to even maybe get a quarterback or somebody in a trade. Because I don't know if the third overall pick is really going to be worth it for them. But I don't know what they're doing. Hell, I don't even think the Texans know what they're doing at this rate. But nonetheless, that's what's going on with the Houston Texans. And then last but least, are the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have the number one overall pick for the second year in the row, which is very pathetic, if you ask me. Their needs. They are also a team that could basically use help at every single position besides quarterback. And they're not bad at wide receiver, although they could probably use another wide receiver. I mean, if you're going all in on the quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, then you're going to need to get him some weapons. And not only are you going to need to get him some weapons, but you're going to need some help on that offensive line. I kind of feel that might need to be the way they go with their first pick. Like I said, I don't know what they're thinking with their first pick. But offensive line is a huge need, especially because, like I said, if you're building this team around Trevor Lawrence, you're going to need to keep the dude standing. They could also use some help at the linebacker position and on the defensive line. A couple notable free agents would be Cam Robinson, DJ Chark, and Trey Herndon. All right, and to round out today's episode, this weekend is actually, Saturday is actually going to be the last day that Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K, the legendary coach of the Duke Blue Devils. It's going to be his last home game ever. He announced his retirement, and this was going to be his last season for sure. So that's kind of been what's been going on all year. And Duke's playing great too, so they actually have a shot at a national championship as well. That would be a great way to send out Coach K. Since Coach K is retiring, I kind of wanted to do a top 5 or a top 10 list for him. But first, let's go ahead and go over his accolades. He's been the coach of Duke since 1980. That's before I was born. I was born in 85, so my whole entire life, Coach K has been coaching the Duke Blue Devils. I mean, that says a lot, too, especially these days. A lot of teams will give up on you. Now, granted, Coach K didn't really have that many bad seasons as the coach, so it's not really difficult to hold on to him because he doesn't really have any bad years. But even when he did have a bad year or two, Duke never was like, oh, we're getting rid of Coach K. That was never anything they would do. But it's very rare, especially these days, when a coach stays with the team for this long. So His overall record, he's won 1,196 games and lost 365 games, which is a winning percentage of 766, so that's excellent. In the NCAA tournament, he's got a 97-30 record. In the couple of times they've gone to the NIT, he's got a 2-2 record. That just goes to show you how great his career has been, because if you don't know, the NIT is basically like the lower-tiered version of the NCAA tournament. When you're watching March Madness, you're mostly watching the NCAA Division I March Madness tournament. But the NIT is for the other teams that don't make that tournament. And he's only gone to the NIT four times in his entire career, and he's gone 2-2. So that says a lot. And then the ACC tournament, he's 63-21. He's a five-time national champion. He won it in 91, 92, 2001, 2010, 2015. He's won 12 Final Fours, 15 ACC tournaments. They've won the 13 ACC regular seasons. A few of his awards that he's won, three-time College Coach of the Year in 1989, 92, and 99. Coach of the Year in 91. Then he was the ACC Coach of the Year in 84, 86, 97, 99, and 2000. And then to top it off, he's a three-time gold medal coach. He coached the Olympic team to the 2008, 2012, and 2016 gold medals. And it was kind of difficult to kind of figure out what kind of a list I wanted to do for Coach K. And I went ahead and I'm going to do the top five players who played for Coach K. So I ranked the five best players that I believe coached or that played under Coach K. Some of these guys went on to have great NBA careers. One of them is a current coach in the in college basketball. And to me, they're just guys who, when you think of Duke and you think of Coach K, these are guys whose careers he shaped, and they. All of them but one won national championships with him as well. So let's go ahead and start off with number five. He was a shooting guard, J.J. Redick. He played for Duke from 2002 to 2006. I actually vividly remember the J.J. Redick years. And he was the face of college basketball for like those 4 years he was around. It was basically him and Adam Morrison of Gonzaga. That's who it was, those two. It was just back and forth. Who's the better guy? And that was the argument then. So, I did think of J.J. Redick, even though he's the only guy on this list who didn't win a national championship with Coach K. But, I mean, he had a stellar career. I mean, there's so many awards and accolades the dude won. Most notably, he was Player of the Year in 2006, ACC Player of the Year in 05 and 06, and the ACC Tournament MVP in 05 and 06. So he had a great run with Coach K. And he was a great player under Coach K. He went on to have a pretty solid NBA career as well. Wasn't one of the, I would call him perennial players, obviously not like a LeBron James or Kevin Durant type level, but he was a solid role player had a great NBA career as well. Then number four on my top five players who played for Coach K is another shooting guard, Shane Battier. He played for Duke from 97 to 2001, won the national championship in 2001. He was Final Four Offensive Player of the Most Outstanding Player in 2001, and then he was Player of the Year in 2001. So Shane Battier had an excellent season in 2001. And he also went on to have a great NBA career, two-time NBA champion, played with the Miami Heat. And he was just a solid player when he played for Duke. Then number three on my top five players who played for Coach K, point guard Bobby Hurley. He played for Coach K from 1989 to 1993, won a national champion in 1991 and 1992, and he was the Final Four Outstanding Player in 1992. Another guy who has nothing but accolades throughout his entire time playing for Duke. And he's currently the coach of Arizona State right now, and he's had a pretty solid coaching career right now. So number three, Bobby Hurley. Number two on my top five players who played for Coach K, small forward Grant Hill. He played for Coach K from 1990 to 1994. He won a national championship in 1991 and 92, and he was the overall player of the year in 1994. And he also went on to have a spectacular NBA career. As a matter of fact, in my personal opinion, Grant Hill is one of the greatest NBA players. I'm sorry, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Not just because, one of the things about basketball especially is if you have a great career in college and then you have a great career in the NBA, that just means you are a great basketball player, because it's not really much of a transition. Like, there's a huge difference when you're playing college football and then you go to the NFL. But when you're playing college basketball and you go to the NBA, there really isn't a huge transition. It's just now you're getting paid, basically. But Grant Hill, he was one of the greatest basketball players, hands down, in college and in the NBA, legendary Hall of Famer in both college and pro basketball. He's had his number retired in both college and NBA, and he was just one of the greatest basketball players of all time. So I had to put him at number two, especially because when you think of Duke basketball players, you think of Grant Hill. He's definitely one of the top five players you would think of who played for Duke, especially for Coach K. All right, and so number one on my top five players who played for Coach K, it was actually very, very easy for me to pick who number one was. I knew who number one was going to be right off the bat, and that would be the power forward slash center, Christian Laettner. If you think of Duke basketball, I think he's the first person who everybody thinks of. And if you don't, I kind of feel like you're lying or you just really hated him. And that's what he's known for. Like, everybody hated Christian Laettner during his time. And he played all 4 years of his career, and from 1989 to 1992, and he went to the Final Four in all 4 years, which is just a huge accomplishment. Won a national championship in 1991, 1992. He was Player of the Year in 1992, Final Four Most Outstanding Player in 1991, and then of course he's most known for the shot versus Kentucky in the 1992 Elite Eight. He made one of the most, if you're a casual basketball fan, you have seen this highlight because it's been played in commercials, and it's just one of the most known game-winning shots ever in the history of March Madness. Once March Madness rolls around here in a couple of weeks, that's what we're gonna be seeing. We're gonna be seeing that Christian Laettner shot over and over again. You see it forever and for always. And that was my first thought when I was like, what am I gonna do for Coach K this week? Because I mean, Coach K, obviously one of the greatest coaches of all time. I had to give him a top five list just because he's legendary. I feel like he's definitely one of the top five coaches of all time. And so you gotta give him his props. And immediately I thought, damn, Christian Laettner has to be my number one on the list because he is Duke. He had an amazing run, and that's just what I think of first thing when I think of Duke and Coach K. I think of Christian Laettner, and who had one of the greatest college basketball careers of all time. So it's going to be the final regular season games this weekend for college basketball. Then we'll be moving on to the conference tournaments next week. So, you know, Coach K has the opportunity to add a couple more notches into his belt. His already huge resume. He could, who knows, win another ACC tournament. Maybe do some damage in March Madness, which I wouldn't be surprised by because, like I said, Duke is playing great basketball this year. They're one of the top teams this year. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them at least making a run for a championship this year. So, Coach K, you were a great coach to watch. I look forward to seeing what you do in March Madness. And I'm sure you will do great in your retirement. And I'm sure we will be seeing plenty of him because, like I said, legendary coach. He may retire, but he's definitely going to be out there for the world to see. I'm sure he'll come around during March Madness every year. I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up on a network somewhere. But hey, who knows? He may just want to go retire because he is an old dude, for real. Really enjoyed his career. And we'll see what he does the next month of the last month of his career, basically. Enjoy the weekend of sports, guys. And I will talk to you on Monday.